Next month's issue of Discover Magazine hits newsstands tomorrow. We have editor Gemma Tarlak with us now for a look at some of the top news from science and technology.
Gemma joins us every month at this time. She's a senior associate editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. Gemma, welcome back.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing okay.
Well, this month's cover story, it follows a plastic surgeon who left his lucrative private practice to join the Army. He'd sort of seen enough and wanted to help and went on to, he's doing a lot of exciting things in the field of facial reconstruction. Tell us about Colonel Robert Hale.
Yeah, this is pretty amazing. He was kind of the stereotypical Los Angeles plastic surgeon. And as he puts it, he was taking care of rich people with small problems. And shortly after 9/11, the Army asked him to help out. So he was in these field hospitals treating these soldiers coming in with just incredibly devastating injuries. And the thing is, you know, really, warfare has changed, and facial reconstructive surgery has not kept up with it. And Robert Hale wants to be the difference. So he's really bringing facial reconstructive surgery, most of which is still based on the World War I technologies, he's bringing it into the 21st century with some things like spray-on skin cells, a mask that you can put over a soldier very shortly after injury that helps them to begin healing immediately and prevent some of the scarring. They're making bone scaffolding out of biodegradable material. It's fantastic stuff, and just knowing it's going to help, the armed forces folks is just fantastic.
The doctor in this story is quite a story himself, and seeing this contradiction between the high-tech stuff being available for the people who need it the least, well, we've got these horrific injuries with, as you say, World War I era science and technology.
Exactly. And, you know, he just has such a straightforward manner, just like, yeah, I'm not doing this. I lost my, you know, my passion for nose jobs, and I'm going to put my skills where they really count. And in addition to him, the story an Army man, Todd Nelson, who experienced an IED attack, and the injuries were absolutely devastating to him. And he actually became kind of an inspiration to Colonel Robert Hale as he was working on him, working to, you know, help him get back to the face he knew and the face his wife and kids knew. And it's such a touching story and an important story as well, scientifically.
And it turns out the skin on the face is not like other skin. It's special, and it requires specialized treatment, especially to keep the bacteria out, to keep inflammation and infection from setting in. So what has Colonel Hale done to innovate in that era?
Well, there's so many different ways the face is different. I mean, not just the skin, which when you think about it, our facial expressions are so much more extensive and nuanced than, say, our elbow expressions. You know what I mean? Like, our face does so much more in terms of expressions and the fluidity and the plasticity of it, but also just our bones. Our facial bones are much more complex than, say, you know, your average femur. So he actually is working with a lot of different people in a lot of different fields saying, hey, help us out. And he's bringing in innovation from different areas, things like, for example, the spray-on skin cells I talked to you about. They figured a way to take like a postage-size piece of skin in a biopsy, say from someone's scalp, and actually create spray-on skin cells from their own skin. And that way, you know, when you think about it, the color of your scalp is a lot closer to the color of your face than, again, say, your elbow. So they're letting not only soldiers heal faster, but also leave them with less scarring. And, you know, that's so important. The Army guy profiled in the story talks about how all he wanted to do was be able to open his mouth enough to eat a hamburger. I mean, when you're talking about that kind of devastating facial injury, this is just such great science.
And he also is working on something, a biomask?
Yes. You know, when you think about it, everyone knows what dental plaque is, right? That stuff that forms on your teeth, even if you're pretty religious about, you know, brushing and flossing and all that stuff. Well, biofilms, which is what dental plaque is, they form everywhere where bacteria can get a leg up on our skin. And it's particularly devastating with facial injuries, because if a biofilm forms on an injured arm and it gets really bad, well, you know, they can do an amputation. But if a biofilm forms on your face, you can't amputate your face. So this was something they were really struggling with, and he created with his team this mask that actually fits right over the face, and it creates not only a protective barrier from bacteria that wants to get in and do something naughty, but it also actually creates this negative vacuum that helps speeds recovery. It's full of antibiotics, so right away they're getting treatment, and it's already making a big difference in terms of the injuries.
So is it expected to be more widespread, more available soon?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they're refining the technique all the time. In fact, since the story started the editing process and actually got published, they've made several advances on that biomask. So there's a lot of innovation, and it's ongoing. And I think a lot of it is just driven by Colonel Hale's passion for the soldiers that he's treating.
Well, you also follow in this issue of Discover another person with a passion for innovation, Jose Gomez Marquez. What's his story?
Oh, I love Jose. Okay, so he is the head of something called the Little Devices Lab at MIT in Boston. And he almost died when he was newborn. He was born in Honduras, and he was born premature, had a lot of issues, barely survived because there was not the medical equipment he needed at that hospital. It created this passion in him to find ways for people in developing countries to have medical equipment that will save lives and improve lives, even if they don't have the money for it. So what he does, he's all about hacking. That's like his favorite word. Every other word out of his mouth is hacking, because he's all about finding ways to create equipment from Lego, from dollar store finds, from just random things, and make actually usable medical technology from it. For example, one of the things his lab team has designed is like a Lego tower with a syringe and some plastic gears, and it actually creates a paper diagnostic so that, you know, a doctor in the field can diagnose malaria or dengue fever. It you know, costs couple bucks to put together, and it actually does the same job as a machine called a liquid handler, which would cost $100,000. So he is all about making medical equipment accessible, even if you're somewhere remote, even if you don't have a budget. It's fascinating stuff he's doing.
Yeah, it's incredible, the stuff he comes up with. Is it something that's going to be easily replicatable for somebody else, though, in another country?
Oh, yeah, that's the whole point. I mean, his whole thing is, if you are, you know, again, a doctor in some remote field hospital, you just don't have $250,000 to spend on a piece of equipment. And if that piece of equipment breaks down, you can't mail it back to Germany or to California or wherever it came from. So his whole thing is, okay, let's find a hack that creates a device that will do the job of the expensive one, and if it breaks, something that is easy enough to repair, easy enough to customize. Another example, he created a special TB compliance program in Ethiopia, where they decided they were going to use cell phone technology so that someone in a remote location could still be checked on to make sure they were taking their TB medication. As you know, for tuberculosis, it's very important to take the full course of medication. And so they created this whole cell phone technology system, and then they got to Ethiopia to test it out, and they realized the actual light, the alarm light that would go off, was red, and that the local folks were very superstitious of that color. So they just kind of swapped it out for what was locally available and locally acceptable culturally. So he's always doing things like that. He's kind of a, you know, the IKEA hacker of medical technology.
Gemma, we have just a couple minutes left. We promised some cat talk. You wrote a piece on what we don't know about cats. Give us a taste of what we don't know about cats.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much to tell you about cats. Cats, their eyes are huge. They're so huge that they have a lot of trouble focusing. That's why indoor cats tend to be nearsighted and outdoor cats tend to be farsighted, because their eyes are actually too big to adjust like ours can. And let me give you a quick word on polydactyl cats with more than the usual number of toes. They can actually trace the voyages of sailors by the number of polydactyl cats on river deltas and seaboard cities, because polydactyls were very popular with sailors.
And it's crazy. Cats can't taste sweetness, it turns out.
It's true. It's true. No matter what you think. In fact, we had some readers take exception to that online, commenting, "My mittens loves her ice cream." But the truth of the matter is, cats really lack the genes that express the sweetness receptors. And you know, I'm sorry. I'm glad Mittens likes her rocky road or whatever. But no, they cannot taste sweetness. They're tasting something else if they like ice cream.
Well, we've got a link to the rest of those pieces of information about cats at the Central Time Facebook page. Gemma, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
That's Gemma Tarlak. She is Senior Associate Editor at Discover Magazine based in Waukesha. She joins us every month to talk about some of the latest news from the worlds of science and technology.
So cats have giant eyes, which I guess explains part of why they're so cute.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know if she got into that. But yeah, no, there's psychology, like Japanese anime. That's part of the whole idea. Bambi,
mm-hmm.
right? The cats are the Bambis of
big
the
eyes, whiskers.
Cat world.
Anyway, lots of cute facts there about cats.